All right, today is the 28th of April, 2009. I am with Mr. Zurab Nogadeli, the former Prime Minister of the Republic of Georgia. And to start off the interview, I wonder if you could tell me about the positions you've held in the government of Georgia and give me very briefly a history of the civil service reform that Georgia's been attempting over the last 6 years.
In the last six years, I have been finance minister and then prime minister following the death of my predecessor, Zurab Jouanian. Then I have left my position after the November 7th events. So that's the positions I have held. As far as the civil service reform is concerned, you know, that, what we have tried to do here those years has been not as much as the service in or reforming the civil service as such, what I should say, but as such reforming the government institutions to a totally different way, probably it would be the right way to say, because we cannot say that that was just simply the civil service reform as such as the people may understand it. So I'm not sure that this is the right term for Georgia to approach, that that was the civil service reform in a way that people are understanding the civil service reform. And this is one thing. Another thing is that from today's perspective, when unfortunately last 2 years almost everything has been done in previous 4 years has been just almost deteriorated and destroyed, basically Georgia needs to go through the civil service reform again, basically from the scratch, and basically from a different point of view. So I think that we better need to go one by one, whatever you're interested in, sector by sector, rather than just generally talking of civil service reform. You know, we need to select one of those areas, let's say the financial sector or anything, and then go through it for the people to understand what has gone right, what has gone wrong. Because unfortunately, as I have told you, after 4 successful years, Georgia has deteriorated in front of our eyes in reality. So I do not really want to mislead anybody abroad with whatever has been done good, but then whatever has been done wrong, because many people's approach to the situation right now is that everything has gone wrong, which is not right. But some of the people are thinking that everything has gone right, which is not right as well. So they were successful 4 years, and I think that I hope that there will be many other countries who will find it interesting and maybe will repeat it and will be as successful as we have been. And I hope that nobody will do the same mistakes we have done, so they will stay on a positive side of reforms. So again, you know, you choose the sector, and then we go through it.
So I wonder, before we get onto a specific sector, if you could just tell me about the first 4 years of the reform. What were the challenges that the government faced when it came into power at the end of 2003?
Challenges were very simple ones to outline, but very difficult ones to address. You know, the government has been collecting only 12% of GDP as a tax revenues, when the tax base basically has been approximately at least 30%. So only one third of revenues due to the budget has only been collected. And we have started reforming, for instance, both the tax administration and the tax system itself. And from one side, you know, that we have improved revenue collection, and from another side, we have significantly decreased the tax base. And now, I think that, a year ago, the Georgia has already almost been collecting almost 80% of its tax base, which is standard of a central European country. and not basically the former Soviet Union. Nobody in the former Soviet Union, except that of the Baltics, is collecting 80% of the base. So certainly nobody can collect 100% of the base, of course, you know, that none of well-developed countries even. So that was a huge challenge. And in reforming this system, you know, that tax collection, revenue collection system, we have done several major reforms. Like, for instance, we have created, we have collected all economic, you know, law enforcement into one, which was the previously responsibility of the Ministry of Interior, Ministry of State Security, which not exists anymore, which doesn't exist anymore. And in other ministries into one, Ministry of, you know, of Finance, and all economic law enforcement had been collected in one, place. And then financial police has been created. And then we have significantly downsized, improved the salary and pay, and improved the, you know, coordination ability between the revenue services and the customs. On the second part of the the reform, we have united you know, the revenue service into one, which has included tax services and customs, tax and customs authorities. Basically, the initial plan has been to unite into the revenue service everybody, including the financial police, but we basically formally it has been done, but in reality it has not been done because unfortunately on the later stages or on last 2 years current government you know, after I have left, have decided that they would need to keep financial police separately, which now basically has become you know, that mechanism in the hands of the government to fight against political opponents, unfortunately, basically. And and this is what I say, you know, that all right things has been gone rightly, and now many people are thinking that nothing has gone rightly, but some of the people are thinking that everything has gone rightly, which is not a good thing. So what needs to be done, the first 4 years of reform, or first 3 years of reform, has been critically important, and I would advise any country to go the same way. Because we have the simple system, we have the simple tax, especially countries in the transition. What the lesson is to be learned from us is that any country in the transition needs as simple as possible system in order to avoid, you know, that too much of the interaction between mid-level bureaucracy and the business managers, because this will definitely lead to the corruption. I have no doubt about that. So what we have done, and what was our policy, what was my policy, that there should be less and less need of interaction between mid-level bureaucracy and then business managers in order to avoid, you know, bribery and corruption. And we have been very successful in first 3 to 4 years in this. But then, certainly, you need to continue to reform farther ahead. You know, that, for instance, in what will be really very good to do to what we have been planning, and unfortunately the government have diverted from the course we have chosen from the very beginning. It would be very good if we would have created, if Georgia would have created a united revenue service, and revenue service will be less punishing mechanism and instrument, but more revenue collecting instrument, as we have been, you know, that thinking from the very beginning. And of course, you know, it is absolutely impossible for the investment environment to exist when one of the law enforcement, financial police, is basically used by the government as a tool, as an instrument against, you know, the first it has started with political opponents, then it has continued with those who are more or less, you know, like, you know, for instance, in other countries as well, that has been happening. But, you know, that is not too much of my business. But those who has been, you know, that more or less either close or maybe willing to fund, you know, that other political forces. And then so on and so forth. And then now, you know, that almost in every government tender, only companies are participating which are connected to the government. And this road just to imagine from the point of view of timing, you know, in 2003, there were only companies to participate in the tender which has been connected to the government. Then we have just destroyed the system. And for instance, in the 2006, you know, that there was, you know, the total freedom from that point of view, you know. In the middle of 2007, that was the best situation, which has also been translated into the economic development figures, 12.5% of growth. Then situation have started going back, unfortunately. And in 2 years from when it have started going back, in 2009, now we're basically there again, where we were here, we have been 6 years ago. So this is what basically concerns me very much. But again, you know, that when Georgian story is taught, especially for other countries, like I know some other countries here, for instance, I have been working as an advisor in Bangladesh myself, and I know what other countries are facing. I don't know why Canada and Italy are here, first, to tell the truth, or United States, but anyways, you know, that I know what other countries are facing from other points of view. You know, I have been studying their examples as well, you know, when we have been thinking. But as far as the Georgia is concerned, there should be very clearly good examples and bad examples, and I think that it will be really very good, you know, that you know, that case study, if you will, for others to you know, to take into account good examples, to take into account bad examples as well, but not follow them. So this is what I will strongly advise people to do.
So in 2003, what were the goals of the government, and what other countries did you use? You said you used other countries as examples.
Not the full example, if you will. You know, that maybe, you know, to a certain extent, you know, that we knew what will happen there or here, but we have not used any particular example for any other country. Like again, you know, that in the fiscal area, again, we have been collecting 12% of GDP of tax revenues when the base was over 30%. So you can imagine, you know, how.
Yeah.
It is absolutely impossible to work in this environment almost, because somebody has been much more equal than anybody else has been. And then last year, country has been already collecting 80% of the base, which is the Central European standard almost. And it's very close to the Western European, you know, that OECD standard from the revenue collection point of view. Yes, now the situation has deteriorated, but what was very important in our example, that we are able to deliver. 95% of Georgians surveyed at that period of time have said that they have not paid bribes. Unbelievable amount of the, you know, that corruption declined, when almost every Georgian has been reported before that he has or she has to pay bribe, you know, that almost 100% have been reported. So you can imagine the change over the course of only 3 to 4 years. Let me bring you another good example, almost the same thing as here. So, and then we didn't have any example. There is no example exist. No example is going to match the Georgian example in those 4 years. Nobody has been collecting 12% of GDP from one hand, and then having a base of 30%. And then when we have started, I was finance minister at that point, when I have become the finance minister at the end of 2003, and we have started, we have collected 12% of the base in first month, and 25% of the base in December 2004. 12% and 25% of the base, you know, month after month, month after month. Then we at the same time have started decreasing the tax base from over 30% to 25%, and then less and less and less. And now the tax base is, I think that approximately around maybe 24 to 23% of GDP, and then almost 20% is collected. So this is what is current situation right now. So which I'm certainly proud of, because I'm a principal one who has not only introduced the system, but who has made it work. as finance minister and then prime minister. So there is a lot of things to be proud. But then, you know, when you know that do wrong things, it is also very important to understand that when you do wrong things, then it applies wrongly, of course. Let me now bring you the policy. So there was no example of this kind of thing. Certainly, we have been looking for the example of whether or not the revenue system should be united or not, or things like this. But there are different examples in the world. There are countries which have one revenue service, but there are countries who have revenue service and then who have customs service in another agency, who are having a, for instance, financial police totally separate from revenue service, or some of them are having it in the same Ministry of Finance, but some still having a financial or economic crime responsibility of law enforcement in other institutions rather than the Ministry of Finance. So there is no one particular matching example. But what is important for the countries mentioned here, not for the United States, of course, but for Bangladesh and for Albania, I have strongly believed, or Bosnia, Burundi, Cote d'Ivoire, El Salvador, Nepal, or other countries, it's very important to have as simple a system as possible. As more difficult the system you have, less able you are to control it from every point of view.
So in what ways did you make your system simpler?
Okay.
In what ways did you make your system simpler? What sort of system, things did you cut out or change to make the system simpler?
The system have what have made the system simpler was that, you know, there was one agency responsible for everything. That was the Ministry of Finance at first. Then the second wave of reforms has been planned, as I have explained to you, that there will be the one only, the revenue service, which would mean that there is one responsible agency for all. And then, you know, there were the fewer people, significantly fewer people, twice as less, and you know that with higher pay and much more responsibility, you know, the best, better training and so on. But as well, you know that this was not only the reform of revenue services, of course, that was everything else. Only reform of revenue services was not going to deliver to the extent what we have done. We have simplified the business regulation system altogether at all. When people are discussing issues of the business regulation, they should not forget that, for instance, if it is, you know, that country, for instance, like, let's say the Ireland, for instance, you know, the, with long-term, or United States, with long-term, you know, that civil service history, which is not corrupt, then it doesn't really matter whether you have too much of regulation or too less of regulation. It doesn't really matter. But for the countries like Georgia or Sierra Leone or, I don't know, Tanzania or Albania, I have no doubt, to Bangladesh, the example I know, for the countries it's very important that you have the simple business regulation in order to avoid interaction between mid-level bureaucracy and business managers. Otherwise, you just cannot control bribery and corruption in that way. So that was not only the revenue service reform. It was that licensing has been significantly simplified. The business regulation has been significantly simplified. And all those has been very important elements of Georgia's civil service reform. So basically, the business manager did not have to do too much. He didn't have too much of the need to interact with mid-level bureaucracy, and again, you know, it has been rewarding for some time.
So, just to go back to the finance police, where are they? Who is in charge of them at the moment? Where are they based in the government? You say that they haven't been put into the Ministry of Finance.
No, it is in the Ministry of Finance now. But the plan was that. First was, you know, that part of the responsibility was with the Ministry of Interior.
Right.
Part of the responsibility was Ministry of State Security. Part of the responsibility was the Ministry of Justice and so on. And part of the responsibility was with the Ministry of Finance at that point. And then we have collected it into one agency, that was the Financial Police, and it was under the Ministry of finance. Then at the Ministry of Finance was tax revenue service, tax authorities, and customs service. Then the plan was to unite in all those things into one revenue service. And it had formally happened, but financial police is still kept as a separate agency, which in reality is more closely working with Ministry of Interior and with the Ministry of Justice, where the prosecutor's office is situated right now. Not as we have thinking from the very beginning. But this is not the most important institutional problem right now. The most important institutional problem right now is what practically happens. And practically happens that financial police right now is used as a mechanism and tool of fighting against, you know, political opponents' businesses. And so this is certainly does not make your economy going forward and your investment environment attractive. So that's what really unfortunately happens. So this is why I say that we have very good examples, best examples, yeah. I think. 4 years of Georgia's reform is best 4 years of any country's reform anywhere. I have no doubt about that. We have got a lot of rewards for that, like that one, for instance, from the World Bank, that one, that you know, the best country in the world in doing business. And like the country have received for the previous 5 years right now. But again, you know, which also our example shows that you cannot rest on previous, you know, that achievements. You always need to continue to be on the front run if you want to be front runner. Right. So this is very important thing, very important example for other people to understand from our example.
So I'm quite interested in the downsizing and the increasing of the pay. You cut the size of the Ministry of Finance in half, correct?
Almost. Over the years. Not immediately.
Okay. So how many did you remove over the various years, and how did you choose which people in positions to remove from the Ministry of Finance?
Which ones?
Yeah.
No, they were the clear, you know, that targets for the people to be met. And you know that who has not been able to meet the targets will be dismissed. Certainly, I'm not talking of those who has been caught for, you know, that improper behavior. They have been immediately put into the jail, or just if was enough, you know, that evidence for them to be put in jail. But there was other cases as well. What has gone wrong as well, that when with time, again, what I have said, financial police has been used as a instrument for the government, for the regime rather, to keep the power. Then basically, you know, that it has significantly gone wrong in that direction as well, and many people, you know, who has been fired from the job or put into the jail only from the point of view that they have not been, you know, too much of the subordinate to some of the people, you know, who wanted to keep the regime and who want to keep it right now as well. So there were a lot of other mistakes happening at the end of our civil service reform. So I think that from my point of view, the fact that Princeton University or you have chosen Georgia is very good from the point of view to teach others. It is just a best case study one can think of from a point of view, from many point of view. What should you do? What you should never do? From that point of view, that you will find in what is that in 6 years best examples. What you need to do or what you never should do.
All right. So, what role did the Public Service Bureau play in?
No role, you know, that in reality, you know, this is what I have told you from the very beginning. It was not, you know, the classic public service reform. We have not even been thinking, to tell you the truth, to establish civil service system as such. That was not our priority at all. In parallel, this job has started, I don't remember which aid agency either European Union or USAID, I don't remember. The public service reform has been going in parallel, but to tell you the truth, as Prime Minister, I had not paid any attention to that, because that was more or less our formal obligation. And then we have understood, and I understand that we would have need to put some time in place public service system, but that was not our immediate priority for those years. Because just to imagine, you know, almost everybody working in, not everybody, but at least, you know, the 80% of tax authorities, those working in customs were corrupt. And my immediate priority was not to keep them, but to get them out, you know, as soon as possible. You know, another point was that you would not be able to do it very quickly. From that point of view, our need was not, or our target was not, you know, to reform public service from the point of view that to give to the people what you in reality need to give to the people from the point of view of civil service reform, that, you know, that stability of work. We have not been giving them the stability. To the contrary, you know. We have told them from the very beginning that just we are targeting you. You need to know that we're targeting you, and everything is dependent on you, whether you will be keeping your job or you will be put in jail. And most is dependent, of course, certainly what you will do from now on. And a lot of people have been rewarded for that, you know, the better behavior and better delivery. But certainly those who has been involved in wrongdoing, or significant wrongdoing before, you know, that we have never think even to give them, you know, that amnesty from that point of view. Our approach was different, and I have no doubt our approach has been right. I have no doubt about that. Another thing was that when time comes, then certainly you need to start building up the civil service as such. Another priority for us, or another approach of ours, has been that with the system which is in place right now still, the presidential system, when basically most of the, you know, that people in government on the government service, like in United States, most top officials are more or less the political appointees, like the system in United States. The same system we wanted to apply. So there are the two different civil service systems in the world. You know it as you study it, of course. There is the system in Europe when there is only one politician in the agency, and then anybody else is the civil servant, and then basically the top civil service, top civil servant is formally heading the agency, and then you know, there is only you know, the minister or whoever it is called. I don't know, some in Britain it could be called even, you know, the Lord of Exchequer or whatever. He has, you know, that political cabinet, and this political cabinet gives the main directions, but everything else is just up to the top civil servant into the ministry, who does everything, you know, that lower to him. And then those, you know, the civil servants are irreplaceable over the years and over the change of the government. This is one system. And another system is that all decision makers into the agency, down to the 6 to 7 level, like in the United States, are political appointees. You know, in State Department, secretary, deputies, undersecretaries, assistant secretaries, deputy undersecretaries, down 6 level are, you know, the political appointees. So basically, we wanted to introduce, you know, that kind of system rather than this kind of system, because you know, the presidential system, you know, the better applies to that kind of civil service when, you know, the leadership of the ministries are basically the political appointees, and then you know, they leave when the change of political regime is taking place. But this reform has, or this approach of ours has significantly been undermined by the current behavior of the government, which was unbelievable then. If anybody would ask me, and you have here as well, you know that election system reform as well. If anybody would ask me in 2006 or in the beginning of 2007, or even at the day when I have left the government, that the time will come when the government will start again, you know, the manipulating elections, I would say that just you're crazy. But it has happened. It has happened. So, and when you start in doing something totally wrong, what you have not been supposed to do, then you know that the civil service reform as such is, you know, misleading. Then it is misleading. Of course, there was no doubt for me that best system from in the current Georgian system for the election authority would be that this election authority is the civil service, not comprised by the political forces as people wanted it to be before. But nobody is trusting this anymore. You know, nobody is trusting this anymore, and trust is not there because government, Saakashvili, have manipulated two elections in a row. The elections in January the 5th and the elections in May the 21st and then the third elections in Ajay. So and then nobody trusts the election. And you need to have the your public system, your public service system, which everybody trusts. If we will come back to the system again, you know, what is it in Europe and what is it in the United States, most important feature for the public service is that everybody trusts it. You know, that's the most important element. Either British conservatives are in at the power of British Labour's. You know, everybody trusts their own, you know, civil service. It is not a system that nobody trusts it. And again, you know, that whoever is head of the State Department or in other agencies of United States, the most important element of the civil service is that everybody trusts it. Nobody even considers that people who are the civil servants should be fired from the job, or nobody thinks that, you know, those civil servants may be somehow misleading them, or they cannot trust them, or they cannot rely on them. So this is the very important feature. But when you now know that, you know, that electoral system is only appointed to serve, you know, the interests of the keeping the power by the current regime, that nobody trusts it. So we will have now to reconsider all of those achievements of previous years. Theoretically speaking, there is no doubt that electoral authority, election authority, should be the civil service authority and should not be subject of the current political interest. But it is impossible anymore. It's just simply impossible anymore. Because you need to have the electoral authority in the place which most of the people will trust. We cannot go on long enough from the point of view that we will have the elections, and instead for the elections to be the, you know, that crisis solver is the crisis creator. This is not possible. Everybody in the world are putting the elections in the place in order to resolve the crisis. Our elections are only just, you know, that triggering crisis, if you will. So the end, you need to go ahead according to reality rather than according to theoretical beliefs. And now there is no doubt that unfortunately we will have to create, for instance, in two most important areas, probably, for instance, in which I also would advise other systems in transition where the political interest for the certain things are too high to go the same way. Which means that I would do in the electoral authority right now, I would create the council, which will be mostly, you know, that the majority of it will be the opposition members, and the minority will be the government appointees, and this council will be approving the head of the agency, which is submitted by the government, of course. So which means that you anyway will have to submit the figure which is a compromise figure, which is trusted by the both sides. So this is the most important element. And both sides need to understand that it is not manipulated. The same I will do with the TV. So these two directions now, which especially needs to be trusted by the public in the transition, needs to be created by the political forces involvement rather than, you know, the civil service. Theoretically, again, you know, that was the best system, but it does not serve the best interest of Georgia anymore. And then in the countries, in other countries where the election fraud is still a problem, you know, let's look which one is this. I don't know, Haiti, for instance, let's say. You know, right now is another elections in Haiti and a never-ending process. So basically, probably you need to put something in place which you trust. Let's take the Bangladesh. The country faces a lot of problems. Per capita GDP, you know, that in 2003 when I was working here, there was only $300. Imagine the situation. I don't know what is it now, but not too much, I believe. But at the same time, there was no mistrust to the election results. Yeah? That's a very important thing. So when you trust it, when you don't mistrust it, or any, which is a more important element, when you have the change of the government, despite all the problems, I don't know, have you been working on Bangladesh or something?
Yeah.
Despite all the problems, you know, that Awami League or BNP, you know, that facing each other, still election result everybody trusts. Everybody accepts election results. So it's a very important element. And most important element of any civil service is trust from across the political you know, the class. So that's very important important element, especially when it is, you know, that when it is, you know, the politically sensitive targets. Well, not targets, but sensitive areas, like, you know, the elections, like TV, like other things. So that's a very important thing. And so, now, yes?
So when Saakashvili and his government came into power in 2003, did they change the system with regards to political appointees in the civil service?
How was there was no system existed before.
Okay.
There was no system existed before, and many advisors of many advisors to us has been advising us to go the European system. But to go European system, you know, the parliamentary system in place then, you know.
Yeah.
That's a very important element. If you have the presidential system in place, you rather go to the American system. You should not be in the middle of nowhere. You either should be that way or this way. You should always be the right way. Right now, from my point of view, for a presidential system to survive long, there is no chance from my point of view. I think that going from presidential system to parliamentary system in Georgia is a matter of time only. This is the matter of 1 or 2 years. I have no doubt about that. Which means that we will have to start moving from whatever we have been trying to build up to the system which we have maybe for a long time has been advised to go for. You know, that, of course, you know, in that kind of system, when there is a parliamentary system, which means that the parliamentary elections maybe every other year, or the government may be changed every other month even, certainly you need to create much more stable, you know, the civil service rather than you need in the case of United States. Do you understand what I mean? You know, every system has its own logic, inside logic. What is most important element for the civil service, that you follow the logic. Let's look at these countries again, you know. Albania, for instance. I don't know how strong in Albania the presidential system is, but if this is presidential system, then they cannot choose the so-called European model of civil service. It is impossible, because it is not internally logical. In Bangladesh, there is certainly quite strong civil service approach. you know, the British system. And the most important element in Bangladesh is, despite all the problems, again, you know, that it is trusting its political transition. And that's a very important thing. Again, you know, that I don't know how strong the presidential system is in Bosnia, Burundi, or anywhere, but there should be the internal logic in civil service. For instance, if I would be, I don't know, you do also advisors, or you only do the studies?
Research.
You search. But, the searching means, you know, that advising to a certain extent. So if I would be you in your shoes, then I would strongly advise the people to do that. If they have the parliamentary system, they should choose whatever the model the continental and non-continental Europe has. You know, the strong civil service with top civil servant, you know, the basically heading the agency, and the politicians are only giving, you know, more or less the political advisors, if you will. But if it is a presidential system, a strong presidential system, despite of the size of the country, then I would definitely advise to the people to go the American way, where the people, top officials in the ministry, are political appointees rather. Right. So that's what I would advise. And again, you know, if Georgia will remain, which I doubt, the presidential system, then we would need to go this way.
Yeah.
But if Georgia is changing to the parliamentary system, then certainly you need as strong and as stable civil service as possible, because everything should be having its internal logic. Everything should be serving country's development rather than civil service interests or anything else. Everything should be serving country's development, you know, the country going forward. Country first.
So what role did the state minister for reform coordination play in Georgia in those first 4 years?
The state ministers, between us, state ministers' positions has been created, you know, artificially, because there was, you know, the mostly political decision. Certainly, I do not want to say that, you know, they were totally useless. No, but they were very important things from time to time. You know, that to listen to the state ministers. But basically, state ministers have been, you know, the political appointments in order to keep people around the table rather than having them to play a major role.
Okay, what was
if somebody of the state ministers are thinking too much of themselves, don't believe them. But between us.
And what were the other successes of the first 4 years?
What?
Apart from the Ministry
there were,
of
there
Finance.
There were many successes. I think that, for instance, police reform was maybe even more successful.
Yes, I've got a
even more successful to a certain extent than the fiscal reform has been. And same, you know, it went the right way and then it went the wrong way again, you know, that unfortunately. More successful from the point of view that we have done it, you know, the quicker. Because we in the case of the patrol police,
yeah.
So certainly it has not touched everything. In the fiscal area, it has touched everyone. It was overwhelming, you know, that everybody across the board, everybody have been touched with this. So while the patrol police, in the police, it has mainly touched the patrol police, but still that was very important.
First of all,
we have united ministries of security and interior. For the country of the Georgia's size, to keep in, you know, the separate ministries for security and interior is just nothing. First of all, we have not gone the way that people are often going in the countries like us, that keeping different ministries to control each other. Thanks God, we have not gone that way. And even with all the problems we're facing right now, I'm facing right now as a opposition leader, still I think that we have gone in the right way, because we don't need the different ministries to keep eyes on each other. That was the right move, and country have been made, you know, much stable, much more stable with this than otherwise. And by the way, you know, maybe we see it with all those, you know, that demonstrations against the government. Still, you know, that everything goes peaceful, everything is under control, and there is no, you know, that forces fighting between each other like it would happen or has been happening in many countries in your list.
Yeah.
Let's look at which ones. Nepal, for instance, or I don't know, whatever.
So do you know in the police reform why the...
And, yes.
Why the reform efforts didn't touch the organized crime section or the investigative section of the police force? And why it focused just on the patrol police?
Because that was you know, the most obvious one, you know, has been the people should have... would have, you know, that interaction with patrol police on everyday basis, and they would not have the everyday basis, you know, that interaction with criminal police or anything else, of course. But first of all, you would not be able to do the reform of the kind which we have done with in the case of patrol police with the criminal police. It is impossible because for 2 weeks there was no traffic policemen at all. Nobody was. And when newcomers have arrived, for 1 month, they still, you know, they have had, you know, on-job training. They had some before-job, pre-job training, and then off-job training in 1 month because, you know, new people have come, totally new people. Most of them, I don't know, the 90% the new people. And we have taken this risk, and we could not take the same risk in the criminal police. You cannot have the and certainly the training of patrol policemen have been taking much less time than training of the criminal policemen. To train criminal policemen, you would need, you know, 10 to 15 years, you know, that for the person to be really good criminal policeman, of course. While just 1 month training of you know, the patrol policemen have really brought results, of course. So this is why we have not been able to do the same approach in other areas. And basically, we would not be able to do the same anywhere else. You cannot dismiss all customs officials for 2 weeks. It's impossible, you know, because you cannot tell to the whole world that stop, for 2 weeks, you know, you're not crossing our borders. Because our borders are not only our borders, you know, that... goods going to Georgia, most of them, you know, the 80% transiting us. No, even maybe 90% is transiting basically us. And we cannot say all across the people, because Georgia is transit country for 8 countries, at least. Eight principal countries, and then for many others as well. But I mean, eight ones to one direction, and then certainly many other to another direction. So we cannot tell to whole South Caucasus and Central Asia and Turkey that, you know, that wait for 2 weeks, you know, that we need to replace our customs officials. This is not possible, of course.
So why do you think what do you think caused the reforms to backtrack? You describe it in the middle of 2007 was
the policy politics has been the main reason of backtracking. The main reason of backtracking has been that unfortunately Saakashvili have started thinking of staying as long as possible or forever. It's impossible to stay forever. You cannot be the democratic and stand forever at the same time. It is impossible. This is not only even if you have constitutional limits, if he even does not. In the country like Georgia, which is a specific country from many point of view, it is very difficult to deliver on the extent that everybody is happy. From my point of view, it is impossible. And for the people, if somebody wants to be European from that sense, so which means, you know, that Canadian or American or whoever, Japanese, if you want, European from the, now, let's say, the Western, in the sense, then you need to understand and accept that, you know, the changes of government is most important element of for the country going forward. And for you, the most important element is not the time to come, but time to live. Time to live is as important or more important than the time to come. Because why the people in the Western world are living? They're living to come, to come back again. You know, so why the time of living is important? Because the sooner you leave, which means that sooner you leave means that you're making less mistakes. Because when you're getting into the crisis, you better leave now rather than you allow crisis to eat you and then make it impossible for you to come back. Because it is clear for everybody then anyways you cannot stay forever. And unfortunately, Saakashvili have started thinking of staying almost forever. That way, another way, you know, it doesn't really matter that he cannot constitutionally stay more than two terms. But you know, there are examples around us when the people having a constitutional limits but still staying. That way, another form, and that have eaten him, from my point of view. That approach of eaten basically him. He has backtracked on everything. He has backtracked from the point of view of trying to keep hands on those people from the point of view of keeping the power. And it is impossible. So the Georgians in general are the democratic people. They are not going to allow the kind of thing to happen. It may last for a few months more, but it is absolutely impossible that it will last forever. There are around us the countries in our region where the people are not caring too much of the democracy. You visited them and you know the Georgia is not the case. Georgia will definitely go the democratic way. Georgia will not allow anybody to the autocratic leader for long.
So what advice would you give to other countries to try and keep their own reforms going forward rather than backtracking like they have in Georgia?
The most important element for the people at the power is important that they should understand that, you know, the time to leave is much more important than time to come. This is if people are not philosophically ready for leaving, they are not going to be the successful reformers. Forget about that. They may be successful reformers in the beginning, but then they definitely will backtrack. You need to build up, tutor, and grow, if you will, your opposition as well as the father is growing his child when he wants his child to be much more successful than he is. Because that's the only way for the country going forward, for the democratic country. If you want to establish, you know, the autocracy, or if you want to establish, you know, dictatorship, that's another thing. Then there is one another separate thing, and that is the separate thing, separate example to be discussed. I don't know. Is there anybody of that kind in your list? Not much. Yeah. Not really. You know, to a certain extent, but not really. Not formally. Put it this way. Non-formal dictatorships. So this is the case. You need to understand that it is absolutely impossible. Especially for the countries in the Eastern Europe, especially for the countries, we need to understand what country is Georgia. 20 years ago, the per capita GDP, non-formally, I mean not directly, was almost $20,000. Here, you know, that was not, you know, the money forms. That was, you know, the free health and so on and so forth. But around $20,000. To 2,500 now only, 10 times less. And there are a lot of people who still remember what the better, you know, that economic standards mean. And you cannot tell to these people, unlike for other many, to other many countries, which are more or less going forward over these years. Certainly, there was no country probably in your list. There is no country in your list, more or less, who has been reaching the high standards and then have been dropping too much from the point of view of economic standards, of course. So, and then you are not going to explain to these people how good the life around us is, because they do remember what really the good, from material point of view, living standards have been. So you should be very honest, you should be very straightforward, and you need to understand that you are given only 5 or maximum 10 years, 1 or 2 terms maximum, And then there is no way that people are really electing you, really electing you. And then in order to keep your job, you need to, if you really want to keep it, like Saakash really wants it, then you need to start manipulating elections. If you start manipulating elections, maybe some other people will forgive you, but Georgians will not. So that's the case. And then I don't know, certainly, and then Bangladesh is not going to forgive you as well, for instance. This is why, from my point of view, Bangladesh political forces are having a strong belief in need of change. Or strong admittance, if you will. This is not a belief, maybe, but they admit in the fact that they should not manipulate election results for too much, at least, and this is a very important thing of reform. And I myself have believed that we need to be strong in reforms. We should not pay attention what will happen later, and then whether or not you know that there will be the backtracking by others, because I have never believed that we will be backtracking ourselves. But at the same time, I strongly believed that Saakashvili was not going to stay longer than 2 terms. That was just total, you know, the surprise for me that what I see now happening. And again, you know, it is not possible in Georgia. 2 things should go at the same time. If you need to be the successful, and if we look around of the countries who are the successful on the long run, only those who are democratic and reformist at the same time. You would not see any example of the success, the real success, I mean, real success which is measured by the people inside of the country, but rather than outside.
So why did you leave the government?
Sorry?
Why did you leave the government?
I have left the government after November the 7th events. You know, I don't know whether you're familiar with the events there.
Yeah, partially.
Yeah. So I have just left the government altogether. I didn't think of coming back again.
Okay. Thank you very much. I understand we're running out of time. Do you have anything else to add before we finish?
No. I don't know. In your shoes, I will definitely do not only research, but advice.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.